And we're going to be just starting in just a few moments. I'm going to start our audio.
Okay.
Check one. Well, thank you for joining us on the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show today. I'm your host, Pastor Domenico Denisi, and we are in High Falls today recording our show. And we have, from the Father's Heart Ministry here locally in Rochester, just down the road, we have Pastor Russ Loria, his lovely wife, Anne. And I want to thank you for coming in. We were going to go down to WISL, and weather wasn't that great. So we thought we would pivot and just record here, which we normally do, although I was with Randy Biaselli down there last month, and we got to have a nice lunch together and everything. That was my plan, but I think this is how it was meant to be. So thanks for coming down the road, literally.
Thank you for having us.
Yes.
It was a short trip.
It was a short trip. So it's probably, what, a mile down the road?
Lake Not very far out.
Okay, so let's get right into it, because as I talked about, the show goes by really quickly, especially when you have two people on, and we're all dressed for the occasion. I got my Rescue and Revive shirt, Father's Heart. You got Redeeming Love, which is part of the Father's Heart, so this is beautiful. Unplanned. We didn't talk about it. It just happened. So with that being said, Russ, let me get right into it. Father's Heart Ministry, I was reflecting. I was praying this morning, actually in this very place, and I was reflecting, and then I was thinking about, I remember when you went to the Cadillac Hotel, and it had to be 2008, 2009. I remember it well. Soup, sandwiches, right? And now, so what was it, 15, 16 years ago? When was the official time? You probably know better than I do.
Cadillac Hotel, so we've been doing the Father's Heart for almost 14 years now, so we probably did another 4 years before that, right? Mm-hmm. So like 18 years ago.
I remember it well. That's amazing to me. I remember some of the first people used to go down to Cadillac, Chris Story, Scott Wilson. I can name them. I just remember it, right? Because we were all going to Quinnania Fellowship at the time. That's where it all started. And now you're at this place. It's 2024, on the brink of 2025. I've watched, from an outside perspective, how the Father's Heart has kind of blossomed, exploded, so on and so forth. I've been to your fundraisers in the past. I've filled in for you. Thank you. It's always been a blessing. I've seen what God's done in this ministry. Both of you, and both of you could just share a few moments each. If from the outside I watch this and I'm kind of in awe, what's it been like to actually be walking in it as the founder and founders of Father's Heart Ministry?
Want me to go first?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. From the very beginning, you know, I really just I've seen God do miracle after miracle after miracle with this ministry, from, you know, the beginning stages of making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in our living room at our apartment at the time, and to what it is today, how God has moved us along and provided all along the whole way. I'm so grateful and thankful. I was sharing with the guys this morning at we have a Wednesday morning some retired guys come.
Wonderful.
I just counted today, there's 12 of the guys, 12 guys there every Wednesday morning, and we share a devotional, and we were talking about, you know, how, you know, in ministry, a lot of ministries, they try to help God. They try to, you know, push doors open, try to cut corner here for particular reasons, and, you know, from the very beginning, all we wanted to do was honor the Bible and honor the Lord and everything that we did. And we've just watched it blossom. We haven't don't try to push doors open. And it's grown to, you know, what it is today. You know, and it's been such a tremendous blessing to get to do what we get to do. I don't look at it like a job.
Right.
I look at it like a privilege and an honor to be able to do this for the Lord. So
it's beautiful. And
I was just thinking, for our fundraiser this year, the theme was If Only for One.
Oh, wow. It's a good one.
And it made me think back on all the years and all the outreaches, and if it was only one. But it was so many more than just one. And, you know, we were out today, and I think of this, there was a woman that we were ministering to on the streets, and she said, like a year or so ago, I think, maybe 6 months ago, she said that she was listening to an outreach over at Lake Gav, hearing you preach and hearing other people preach, and it led her to go into inpatient and hearing about Jesus and setting her free. So that's what it's all been about, and I just see it growing, and you get to hear, since it's, we never got to see the fruit so much, and now that it's been several years, we hear little tidbits, you know, of the fruit of it.
I've heard all kinds of testimonies. That was something I was going to bring up, and maybe I will, maybe I won't, because you kind of talked about it, but I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of testimonies over these last 18 years of what God has done through the Father's Heart Ministry. With that, I want to stay with you, Ann, for a moment, because I drive down Lyle Ave almost every day to come here, purposely. When I have to get here quick, I take the expressway.
Yeah.
But when I don't, I drive down Lyle purposely. Sorry. First time it's happened to me. There's a huge need in what you do. So if you want to talk about redeeming love for a minute, go ahead.
The Lord put on my heart, and a couple other women actually, you know, during the outreaches and stuff, we would see women just driving for pickups. We would see women all over the city. And they wouldn't necessarily come to our outreach. You know, I don't know if it was shame or just didn't know that they were allowed to come. But my friend Mayor and a friend, a woman who came back to the Lord, Heather, she came up to me and she said, you know, my heart is for these women. She's a school bus driver. Yeah. And she drives by them all the time. So Russ wouldn't let me go out alone. So I said, here we go.
Husband, that's wise.
Yes. Yeah. And we started about, it'll be actually 3 years.
That's awesome.
2021 we started in June. And we go out 2 days a week now with a minivan that we have. We drive all over the city, mainly Lyle and Clinton section and the side streets and alleys and stuff. And we go and search for women in need that are either exploited and or addicted. We provide them like toiletries, food, clothing, and most importantly, prayer.
Yeah.
It took us like a year, I would say, to build up a lot of relationships with the women. And when I first started, I was like, okay, we'll meet like 30, maybe 40 women. And I would say, unfortunately, we've probably met over 400 women.
That's incredible.
That are out there.
I didn't know it was that high. Now,
yeah.
I drive down, you know, as part of my Sunday morning routine, preparing, you know, for the sermon, Spencer for Bible, and it doesn't matter what time. It could be 7 in the morning, it could be 7 at night. There's always women out there, and you think, this is someone's daughter. This is someone's, it could be a mother to children, and, you know, it's absolutely tragic and heartbreaking. I've seen it evolve over the years to where, my guess is the police, and I don't blame the police at all, they really can't do anything. I don't think they really, I've never seen a police, at least I haven't seen any police cars pulling over. So, I mean, you could basically, if you wanted to, probably stop your car and have one of the ladies get in and so on and so forth, which is, I understand both perspectives on that. I mean, you can't police something that's so rampant. Talk about, give us one testimony from ministering to these women of the street, we'll call them. Give us one testimony that you've experienced. I know you have other ladies going out with you now. Just share one briefly and then we'll go back to Russ.
Yeah. There's a couple women that are doing good, but one in particular, I won't say her name actually here, but she's doing good. She's 2 years sober. She's got her own apartment. She's being reconciled with her kids.
Yeah.
And she, you know, not to puff up the ministry, but it's more like our vision was to share the love of Christ to these girls, that to let them know that they're seen and not forgotten, and that
which
they matter.
Amazing. Yeah.
You know, they matter. They're priceless and precious in the eyes of the Lord. And she had been hit by a car and had hip issues, which led her into the hospital. And because of that, she was set free, you know, and then she came to the Lord. She got baptized at a church, and she's following the Lord and doing good. But she was like, you know, I asked her one time, Do you guys use those toiletries? Do you guys just sell them? Do you throw them out? And she said, you know, you guys keep us alive out there at times. You know, we just don't have the stuff. They are addicted.
Yeah.
You know?
All of that, anyone that I've seen, and obviously I don't pull over because I can't. I'm not in a position to do that. But all of them that I see, almost all of them, look, they appear as though they're on drugs. Like, why else would you be doing something like that? 99%. Right, 99%, we would know. So it's just the bondage, the enslavement to that area of sin that needs to be broken. And I commend you guys for doing that. The ladies, what an awesome ladies ministry to just, that's the depths. I mean, those are the leper colonies that most people won't go to. So I commend you for that. I want to go back to Russ for a moment. Every Thursday, every Friday, every Saturday, this is something I was thinking about. That's a lot. It's a lot. I mean, because I think of, I was telling one of our elders at Spencerport, Sunday comes around quick, and it's already Wednesday. I feel like I just preached. You're going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but it's not just preaching. You have the food preparation, both hot food, groceries, you have chairs, you have everything. Tell us about that grind a little bit. What's it like holding that schedule throughout the year for outreach, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, different locations in Rochester?
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to go back to, Ann, just for a second, is that one of the things that really, really means a lot to the girls from what Ann has told me, and I've been trying to do it myself because I serve soup at our ministry on every day of the week at back porch, pretty much.
I didn't know that. I'm stopping someday. Then. I had no idea you do that.
So, and it's grown. Okay. It's grown. Is that, you know, everybody's got a street name.
Okay.
You know what I mean? People got street names, and they want to give you your real name.
Sure.
You know, one of the things that I'm learning, and I learned from what Ann has done out in the streets, is that, you know, these women have a name.
Yes.
They have a name. Like you said, it's someone's daughter, a mother, whatever. And some of these girls, you know, when Ann goes out with her group, they want to know their real name.
Yeah.
And, you know, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ knows them by name.
That's
and
good.
You build relationships like that, just the reality of being real with people. And that really, really, and I'm learning that myself, serving this. Hey, what's your name? I want to know your real name. Don't tell me your street name, because I want to get to know you and I want to know your name so that we can specifically pray for you. Not that God doesn't know their street name or anything like that.
Yeah, but that means a lot to them.
Yeah, and they remember that. Say, hey, you remembered my name. And I've heard guys and people go up to the back of the building at times. I can't believe you remembered my name.
It's awesome. So, that's powerful. That's a great point.
But anyways, you know, back to the grind. Thing, it's like, you know, it's a long week.
Yeah.
It's a long week. It starts on Monday, and Tuesday's our day off, and I mean, we're picking up food at different locations, the Whole Foods, the Black Men's. Then we have the Wednesday group that comes up with the truck from Pennsylvania with, you know, 3, 4, 5 pallets a week that we unload, and the guys on Wednesday with the devotions. That's all different part of our ministry, you know, like Redeeming Love. And then we got the men that come on Wednesday mornings and serve. And then, you know, Thursdays are picking up, and we pick up from Chick-fil-A. We pick up from the Grease Market, and you know, and then, you know, Friday is Whole Foods again, Wegmans again. And then in between all that, we have, you know, I'm sharing messages at our locations, you know, so time is a very, you know, there's not much time in there. So, you know, and we just, you know, and it's easy to you know, if you're not where God wants you to be, right, if you're not in God's will and doing it God's way, and you could easily get burnt out.
I believe, you know what I mean? Yes,
and,
I understand.
I don't, you know, I love what I do. Love it. I enjoy it. It's not even, it's fun. It brings joy every day to be able to do what we do. And, you know, and I'm thankful for the Lord that God has given my wife a heart for the lost souls in the city of Rochester. So that's kind of.
The grace is sufficient for you guys to do it.
I mean,
let me springboard off that. You have any ministry that's built of God, he brings alongside people to help you with the work. Talk about some of the people that have been instrumental in being the hands and feet of Father's Heart Ministry. And if you just want to mention, and just so you know, we got about 12, 13 minutes left. I told you it goes by fast. So, Ann, if you want to mention either some of the ladies, some of the gentlemen, both some of the servants of the Father's Heart who are instrumental in that weekly process, which involves mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah, we have so many volunteers, really, because, I mean, on Wednesday, he didn't mention, they're not just doing the devotion, they're mm-hmm. also giving out, they're dispersing, sure. you know, the items of food sure. to other organizations and stuff so that they can go out and preach mm-hmm. the word and stuff. So we have many guys. I think of Andy, who mm-hmm. Was as green as you could be, really mm-hmm. terrified of coming into the city. And now he has such a heart for the women.
He fellowships at a church somewhere?
He goes to Calvary Chapel Webster.
Okay, yeah, and you have so many different churches involved in Father's Heart Ministry. So let's do it this way. Let me name some people. We won't say last name. Okay. You tell me where they fellowship so people can get an idea of the type of kingdom-minded ministry this is, meaning inclusive of the universal body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Jason, mm-hmm. where's he fellowship?
Southside. Jim Leganese's.
Which is a great, they support mm-hmm. Rescue and Revive Ministry. Mm-hmm. Great fellowship, and Jason's instrumental. Mm-hmm. How is he there every, almost, how many days?
Every outreach, really, Thursday.
Amazing.
Friday,
great
Saturday.
Guy.
Yeah.
Humble, great Humble. Guy. Okay, how about, we'll throw this one to Russ, the Sirks.
Oh, the Sirks go to a small little church in Fairport, New York, Greystone Church,
and they've been instrumental from the beginning.
Yeah, they're on our board of directors. They do a lot of stuff that, and we're very, very grateful to them. They do a lot of stuff behind the scenes at the Father's Heart.
Last one, and then we'll move. But just so people have an idea, I mean, these are just people I know who are instrumental, but the list could go on and on. Dave Schumacher, we brought him up.
Yeah.
Talk about Dave.
Faithful servant.
How often is Dave there doing the stuff?
Pretty much every day.
He's doing pickups and
everything.
He's there a lot.
And it's amazing because some of the people, which we've shared in ministry, mm-hmm. just like, you know, other open door mission, wherever we've shared resources and shared people, they're in that position. God has them in that position in life where they're able to help.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if they had all these other responsibilities, they just wouldn't have the time. So I've watched from an outside all the different people, the churches, the individuals that have been mm-hmm. raised up. And it really is building, it's like Nehemiah building the wall. People always forget all those names. There's a chapter devoted to all those names, and I always tell people you wouldn't be able to name one of them.
Yeah.
But they're equally as important, right, mm-hmm. as both of you. And anybody who leads a ministry recognizes that. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I know it's different places Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think you discovered a while back, because of the demands of the ministry, is it you go to, you take, is it 1 month off or you take 2 weeks off? When is it?
We personally take a month off.
It's February, which is wise.
The ministry will still be operating on Saturdays.
But it couldn't have done that in its early stages.
No.
And again, that goes back to how God raises up people. Mm-hmm. That's organic discipleship mm-hmm. to be able to do the work of the ministry, which I love to see.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I think that's needful. Mm-hmm. As a married couple, as ministers, to be able to take that break because the demands are so high. Mm-hmm. Where do you see the Father's Heart moving? Now we're coming into 2025. When you come back from your rest mm-hmm. and you're refreshed, where do you see the Father's Heart 2025, God willing?
Should we talk about the Shend?
Yeah, let's talk about the Shend.
Well, here's one of the things we're working on as a result of, we don't want to get ahead of God.
Right.
We want to expand, though, and make it more more conducive to what we're doing. You know, our main thing is hey, we just love Jesus.
Right.
Right? And we just want to bring people to the cross.
Amen.
And bring them in a real way mm-hmm. that they can really understand mm-hmm. and keep it simple and mm-hmm. show them
yes.
the love of Jesus Christ. So one of the things we're doing is we're getting a shed, because there's been so many people been walking up to the back of the building, and we just purchased an 8x16 shed. We kind of modified it, kind of like with a truck window on it, like our food truck. And we're going to start opening it up to another. It'll be another part of our ministry to where we can man this shed during the daytime when people come walking up to our building for soup, You know, because here's the thing. People come to the knock on the back door. You know, I'm in there cooking.
Right.
And
yeah.
I want to, you know, bless them with some food. But, you know, give them some food. Hey, I need a pair of socks.
Where's the shed going to be?
It's going to be in the back of our.
So they'll walk back there and you'll have a shed devoted to resources.
Right. Yeah.
Clothes.
Yeah.
Non-perishables.
Instead of going up and down the
stairs.
That's
smart. I like that idea.
You know, going here and there. You bring somebody a cup of soup and some socks, and then the next thing you know, they say, oh, well, I need a jacket and some shoes. Then you got to go back upstairs again.
I want to stop with that. I want to get real. Because I want people to understand what ministry is about, right? These are gospel-centered ministries, but I want people to know the practical part of this. Mm-hmm. Because you almost touched on that, right? We know that sometimes in inner city urban ministry, I would say it's not for the faint of heart. You have to have a servant's heart. You have to be willing to serve and receive nothing back, just serving simply for the glory of God. Talk about the struggle really quickly. So time's just fading. We've only got 6-7 minutes. Talk about some of the struggles, though, the realistic struggles of maybe the attitude of entitlement you come across day in and day out in inner city and urban ministry.
It's the struggle is real.
Yes.
People that are, I believe this with all my heart, is that Jesus he'd go out into the highways and the byways,
yep.
And he always went to where the hurting and the most need was. That's what I love about the Father's heart, is we're a ministry that brings the church to the people in a realistic way. Where they can, you know, but people are so needy and so addicted and so blinded by the prince and the power of this world that we have to pray and we have to ask God every single day, Lord, give me eyes to see this person the way you see this person.
Amen.
God, give me your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your compassion to be able to see these people with your heart, the
Amen.
Desperateness and the wickedness of sin
Amen.
That blinds their eyes, so that they're like Saul on the road to Damascus, that the scales would fall off their eyes and they would know the truth and know the truth that will set
Amen.
Them free. That's kind of like that's where we're at.
And what about you? Quickly, just in like 60 seconds, how do you deal with that? It gets tired. Let's be honest. We're going to Lakeview. We have our Christmas party Friday. I can't wait for it. To me, that's a huge part of Christmas, right? But we know that just people, you have to have the grace of God, and you have to have the heart of God and the lens of God. But how do you deal with it when people maybe aren't appreciative or they feel entitled day in and day out?
Well, I'll say an example. Today, we were out for the women, and I literally watched a woman steal a package from the steps, see our van, turn around, bring it back. Well, then, but she threw it out. Then she came up and asked for food. And then
Perfect example. Went
on to say, oh, can you give a bag for my brother that's in the house?
Yeah.
And we learned to only give to those that are there.
Yeah.
It kind of goes back to the, you have to pray to have
You gotta
Lord's
have the grace.
Eyes.
Yeah, God's gotta give
because
you the grace.
Without
for
it, in my flesh, I want to be like, okay, you just stole that.
I've seen people attempt inner city ministry and quite honestly fail because it demands a servant heart, demands a call of servant's heart, is a servant's attitude. It's not for the faint of heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be God's grace that's on you to serve the people with the love of Jesus Christ. It just is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys see that probably more than most anybody in Rochester because you're living it every single day in the heart of it. And again, I commend you both for doing it. Really quickly, I told you how fast it goes by.
Can I say one more thing?
Quickly, because we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah. I've learned over the last year or so that, you know, when you're dealing with addicted and you're dealing with homelessness, especially with addiction, you don't want to give people stuff to where they can go and easily have access to sell this stuff,
right?
Because we know that happens. So what I've learned is, hey, you know what? I've learned this. We just give them soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Homemade soup, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them a bag of little goodies. snack
like
food,
package, right?
Like that they can mm-hmm. that they can get through a day. You
it's
know
wisdom.
I mean?
Yeah, you learn it.
And you know, if you give them, you know, $25 pies and this and that and that and this,
they can sell
they're
it.
Gonna go
yeah.
sell it
yep.
nine times
you're
out of ten.
You're gonna enable them.
Because when you're a drug addict,
right.
that's all that matters is drugs.
I believe that. Thank you for adding that. And I think people, that's something you got to learn over time, because sometimes you think giving can help them. It's actually hurting them if you give them the wrong
enabling
thing.
Enabling them.
Enabling
them.
All right. Last thing. We're down to, and you got to do this in 30 seconds each, okay? So this is going to be, this could be a test. 30 seconds, and we'll have you go first. The people that are watching, the people that will be listening on WYSL, the gospel of Jesus Christ in 30 seconds.
The gospel of Jesus
Christ. 30 seconds. Yep, you literally got 30 seconds. And then Russ has 30. Go ahead.
Okay. He came.
Mm-hmm.
He gave. And he's just asking for your heart to surrender to him and to call out to him as Lord and Savior of your life.
Amen.
It's different than believing. Just believing
yes. mm-hmm.
is surrendering
I love
your
that.
Whole life.
Pastor Russ, you got 30 seconds.
Go 30 ahead. Seconds. Wow.
Yep.
Hey, no matter what you're going through in your life, I want to let you know that if God can deliver a drug addict like myself 29 years ago, the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead, you will be saved. And because he rose again from the dead, you can have hope and peace. Through Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So give him your heart, and he'll give you a brand new heart. If any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation.
Amen. Quickly, people can give, serve. Just give us the home base location on Lake Ave. And go ahead, home base location, address?
For address, for dropping off donations,
yep.
it's 678 Lake Avenue. And if any monetary donations, or if you need prayer requests, you can email us at thefathersheartroc.org, contact at thefathersheartroc.org. Our website's thefathersheartroc.org.
Excellent. I want to thank you for watching. If you're watching Facebook Live, I saw some people out there, Bishop Dan Soto, Julio from Wake Em Up Ministry. Thank you for watching. This will also be on WYSL starting this Sunday evening at 11:30 p.m. That's 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM and 1040 AM. Thank you for helping us rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great day, great evening.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.